Gobble, gobble, motherfuckers! On this very special Thanksgiving Day episode, the Nat Man and I interview the Squatch Father himself, Al Santariga. Edgegrave Dave reviews the horror movie Thanksgiving and a very special tiny terrifying tale. So go stuff your turkey and listen up!
Do aliens exist and are they among us? Are weird creatures lurking in the darkness? Do evil entities hide in the shadows of your bedroom while you sleep? Join us as we explore all this and more on the Warped Reality Podcast.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Warped Reality Paranormal Podcast, the Thanksgiving Day episode. I am Ghost Joe.
And this is the Nat Man saying Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Turkey Day, everybody. Happy Turkey Day. We have an awesome freaking show for you because we have the Squatch Father himself talking some awesome stories about the Dog Man, Bigfoot, aliens, UFOs. I mean, freaking everything. This guy is awesome. You're gonna love the interview, and he's awesome, and he's a good friend of ours. And I honestly can't wait to talk to him again. I want to set up another interview already because he's got a lot of stuff to tell. It's gonna be an awesome show. We also have, you know, and stay tuned after the interview, because Edgegrave Dave is going to doing his horrible review on the movie, the horror movie Thanksgiving. So you're not going to want to miss that either. But first, let's talk about this, Nat. So there was this, you know, the Conjuring House that's out in Rhode Island. It's the Burrellville House, right? Better known as the Conjuring House. It's recently been stripped of their business license due to missing paperwork, application renewals, and the erratic behavior of the current owner, real estate developer, Jacqueline Nunez. She purchased the property in 2022 for $1.5 million. And she opened it up for tours and overnight paranormal investigations. So the building inspectors had said that due to the lack of fire prevention, and she's not allowed to have people sleeping over there at night either, they couldn't pass the inspection. The owner actually has also, she's actually been committed to psychiatric care twice. She says off the wall things. She said that she is the person who saved all of humanity. And she had even fired one of her tour guides, stating that a previous owner, mind you, a dead previous owner, had told her that this employee had stolen money from her. So she used that as an excuse to fire this guy.
Wait. A dead, as in he came back to her?
Yes.
As a ghost and told her?
Exactly.
Nice.
And
you don't hear stuff like that too often.
No.
And he stole money.
She's also been harassing and making wild claims to the Ghost Hunter star, Jason Hawes. He used to actually work there, I guess, doing tours and doing stuff because he's from Rhode Island. She claims that he's been harassing her and stalking the property. He has numerous restraining orders put on her, and she still continues to call him and to harass him. So he's got a legal battle going on with that. As far as the Conjuring House is,
sounds like she's harassing him.
Yeah. I mean, it's got to be the bald head, man. You know, I constantly, you know, get harassed all the time because of my bald
head. I'm always harassing you.
You know, that's right. That's right. You know, So as of this recording right now, it's before Thanksgiving, but, by Thanksgiving, when you guys are hearing this, the court hearing for the Conjuring House had already happened. It happens on the 26th. So we got to see what happens with that. And I mean, I hope that if she leaves, whoever takes it still continues to have the tours and the paranormal investigations and, you know, does the right thing, gets the right paperwork and licenses and stuff, because that's a monumental place, man. I mean, all the movies that were made and, you know, I'm sure she's made her money back since 2022 a lot more than what she paid for that house. So now we're going to talk about the top five Thanksgiving horror movies as listed by Vulture.com. Well, we'll start with number five here, Nat. So the number five is Black Friday, and it came out in 2021, so only a few years ago. And it stars my guy, Bruce Campbell, Ash from the Evil Dead trilogy and Ash vs. the Evil Dead. think it's like a, I think it's kind of like in his vein though. Like it's a zombie parasite type movie, but it's probably, knowing him, is probably more comedy than horror, but that's the stuff I love, man. It's gotta be great with him in it. So, you know, that's, I definitely want to check that out. So number four is called Christy, and it came out in 2014, and it stars Haley Bennett, who was in Marley and Me and The Equalizer. And she plays a college kid that stays in her dorm room during Thanksgiving break, and, you know, hilarity ensues. It's, I guess it's one of those like stalker, like cat and mouse type, you know, movies. So that's number four. Number three is Blood Rage from 1987. With a name like Blood Rage, I mean, how could it be bad, right? And it came out in 1987, and it's a slasher film. I mean, what better ingredients do you need for an awesome movie than that stuff? That one I definitely really will be checking out, because that's got to be pretty cool. So number two, Nat, is Alien Abduction, and Incident in Lake County. And it's a remake of the McPherson tapes that came out in 1989, which is the one that I saw. I never saw the remake Alien Abduction, but I did see the McPherson tapes when I was a kid on TV, actually. It's like a found footage movie about an alien abduction. And that movie freaking terrified me, man, because it was like one of the first. It came out before Blair Witch. So, I mean, this was like,
oh, is it found footage tape?
Yeah,
found footage movie.
Yeah, so found footage. So it was like a new type of thing, you know. And it was freaky, man. I mean,
that's cool.
The actors in it were, I mean, the thing is, I mean, it's supposed to be like real life, so you can't really expect the actors to be all dramatic and stuff, because it's supposed to be like real life. I believe the McPherson tape, they got together for one of the kids' birthday parties, but in Alien Abduction, it was for Thanksgiving. So that's why it's a Thanksgiving movie. But I would definitely check out the remake also, and check out the original called the McPherson tapes, because that was awesome. No surprise here. The number one is the movie Thanksgiving, and it came out in 2023, last year. I mean, it's literally called Thanksgiving, so how could it not be like the best Thanksgiving horror movie, you know? I don't want to go into what this movie is about, because if you want to know more about it, stay tuned until after the Al Santariga interview, and Edgegrave Dave is going to give you an awesome, horrible review on the movie. So definitely stay tuned for that. And that's our list of top five Thanksgiving horror movies as listed by Vulture.com. Now, I'd like you to stay tuned for a very special Tiny Terrifying Tales.
Tiny Terrifying Tales.
Revenge is delicious. This day of thanks, when families gather, we fill our tanks with foods and matter. Telling stories of years gone past. Night's getting late, it's quiet time at last. But if you listen close, you'll hear a horrid sound, a revengeful shriek. Evils abound. Your hands will quiver, knees go wobble wobble, a knife through your back as you hear gobble gobble.
All right, and that was Tiny Terrifying Tales. I hope you guys enjoyed that, a little Thanksgiving horror humor, you know, just the way I like it.
Pretty cool. Pretty cool.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
It gave me goosebumps.
What? Why? Thank you. Thank you. And so now we're going to play you the interview that we did last night with Mr. Al Santariga. Again, awesome. Please listen to the whole thing, and please listen after that, because Edgegrave Dave is going to have his horrible review on Thanksgiving, which is another awesome review. And you're going to love it. Please stay tuned, and I hope you enjoy the interview. So with us today is Al Santariga. Al is the co-founder of the Bronxville Paranormal Society, the director of the New York State UFO Project, and the New York State Dogman Project as well. He had been a previous guest on a previous episode of mine, but I feel like we never actually dove deep into his own experiences. I recently caught up with him at the Danbury Public Library in Danbury, Connecticut, while he was giving a lecture about his experiences with UAPs, I guess they call them now, UFO and UAPs for UFO Week. So without further delay, let's welcome our friend Al Santariga. What's up, Al?
Hey, Joe. Hey, Dad. How you doing? Thank you for having me, man. It's a pleasure to be here. Yeah, it was a fun night at the Western Connecticut UFO Conference. I hope everybody was entertained by the experiences. I think I was talking so fast that night that the stuff I had put aside for an hour only lasted a half hour, and I had to delve into other stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it was a good night. It was I knew I only had like 50 minutes or so because I knew Mark had to go on, but I had a lot of fun, met a lot of nice people, and yeah, it was great seeing you.
Yeah, absolutely, man. It was awesome. I mean, you know, it was the first time we met in person too, so that was really cool. And Mark was a great guest too. I enjoyed his presentation also.
I wish I could have been there.
Yeah, the beginning of it, I'm not very smart. So but when he's talking all those big words and stuff like that, I'm like, the scientific stuff, I'm like, I don't know what he's talking about. But when he started really getting into it and really explaining how the UAPs, UFOs, you know, move, or how he feels that they do, how they, you know, it was so interesting. I definitely want to try and get him on the show eventually as well. I sent him a message, but we'll see, you know.
I'll reach out to him for you as well.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, I was really interested in hearing his theory on how they got here as well. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But Mark is a funny dude. He's a quirky dude, and that's Mark dumbing it down. Okay, believe me, I've been with Mark when he doesn't dumb it down. And I actually asked him a question because he was talking about string theory physics, and I said I thought there was more quantum physics involved. And he said, Al, if I would have went into the quantum physics, I would have lost everybody, you know? So I was like, okay, no problem.
Well, he's an astrophysicist, right? I mean, that's...
Yeah. And he's got, he's got like above top clearance with the Navy and stuff, like a top secret clearance with the Navy. You know, he does a lot of, he builds satellites for the Navy and stuff, you know? So he's an amazing dude.
Wow, that's so cool.
Very, very smart guy.
Yeah, when he tells us what he was doing and where he's going, it's like we were. He can't give you any specifics because everything is, you know,
right.
Top that's secret. Right. All the stuff he's doing, so you know,
it's awesome.
Yeah.
So Al, if you don't mind sharing, what was the first experience or a significant experience that had like prompted you into getting into pursuing the paranormal arts? You know, did the other paranormal genres just kind of follow along, or did you have specific experiences to get you into each one of those things, you know, that we talked about? UFO, cryptid stuff, you know, was it like one specific thing, or is it curiosity? Like, what was it exactly?
No, it was actually family. My mom was a psychic, and she would have entities or spirits come to her at night when she slept, and she would talk all night long to people that weren't there, you know, so much so that my father made him sleep in another bedroom because he had to get up to work construction, and she was talking all night long. She didn't know she was talking. I had an aunt who's a white witch, actually two of them. I had a cousin who was a black witch, and they did a lot of, you know, being Italian and my family coming from Italy, the old country. They did a lot of what people would call paranormal stuff. To me, was normal in my family. There would be times when all my relatives got together and they would do like a seance with candles and stuff like that. You know what I mean? I don't ever remember them using Ouija boards, but I do remember them using tarot cards and stuff like that. They would always throw us out, like they would tell us to go to bed, and me and my cousin Dino and my cousin Anthony would sneak back out and like watch them from the corners of the hall where it was dark. And you would see like these candelabras just dancing, you know, and they would be asking questions and stuff. And my brother was one of the first parapsychologists in the United States. And he used to go out with Han Holtz's right-hand man. So growing up in my house, there was always books on UFOs, ghosts, Loch Ness monsters, you know, you name it. My brother had books on it, and as soon as he finished reading them, I read them as well, you know. So My sister is like an empath. So, but my friend, the funny thing is, like, I have all these crazy experiences, and my brother's only seen one UFO in his life, and it was bicycling across the Alps with friends from the village in Italy. They were going from one village to another, and they seen a UFO fly over their heads. That was the only one he's ever seen. And meanwhile, I get all of these experiences, and he's just like, he wants me to take, get regressed, you know, that's his big thing. Right. I was going to do, I explained it that night, I was going to do a regression with Rosemary Ellen Guiley. We became really good friends. And the time period that Rosemary was supposed to do it for me, she actually passed away. So I never got around to getting that regressed. But yeah, no, it's like the paranormal was normal in my house. You know, like when I would tell my friends about, you know, what happened last night at this aunt's house or that aunt's house, or like me and my cousin Dino, we were always going to my aunt to get like curses taken off of us, because we, for some reason, like the Italian girls in the neighborhood would give us the evil eye and stuff, you know. And
for some reason, right? For some reason.
For some reason.
Sure. And, for some reason.
And we were always going over my aunt's house, and she would do the whole ritual to see, A, if there was evil eye was on you. And then if it was, she would do a ritual to get it off. And it always worked. You know what I mean? It always did. So we never really knew who put the curses on us. But, you know, we knew it was girls from the neighborhood because they had family like ours. Everybody that we grew up with in our neighborhood was like from the same village in Italy. You know what I mean? So we were either related by blood, related by marriage, or just paisans from the village, you know? So that's just the way it was growing up in the city.
So being involved in all of these groups, you know, the groups that you're ahead of and stuff, how do you manage time to like to give attention to them all? Like, and if you could explain like the similarities and differences in like preparing different investigations, because I could imagine like a cryptid investigation would be obviously completely different than a paranormal, a ghost investigation, you know?
Yes and no. Yes and no. In the beginning, when I thought everything was separate, I would prepare differently. Absolutely. You know, it was all the instruments for ghost hunting, the EMF meters, the K2s, you know, the digital recorders. I've gone back to all the old school stuff. I'm so tired of all the artifacts and digital phone cameras. I've gone back to 35 millimeter and, Polaroid. And I even gone back to, reel to reel, recorder. You know what I mean? Tape recorders. Yeah. Because I'm just so tired of all the digital artifacts and everything and people seeing stuff where there's nothing right there. It's shadow and light. I'm just so tired of it all. I'm tired of fighting with people. So I've gone back to the old school ways. But don't get me wrong, all the high tech stuff, the ITC stuff is amazing. I just bought a brand new pair. They're called night vision goggles, but they're more than goggles. They film in 4K. They have audio. They film in color. They film in on night vision. They film in thermal. They film in full spectrum. They film in everything. And I'm using this stuff now on top of my 4K camera that films in full spectrum and thermal, not thermal, full spectrum and IR. And plus I have my thermal camera too that I use, on the side. So I got all these stuff going. So you're using the cameras for both sets. You're using the cameras for the ghosts, and you're using the cameras for the cryptids. Back in the day when we were going ghost hunting, it was more IR for ghost hunting and ITC stuff for that. And then just, you know, when you're out in the woods, a lot of people didn't use, a lot of the ghost hunting equipment for cryptid stuff. You know what I mean? They would use like a regular 35 millimeter camera or something like that, not thinking that you could get something in a different spectrum of light, you know? But I being, coming from a ghost hunter kind of background, I've always used all my stuff in everything. because A, it was the only equipment I had, you know what I mean? So I was going to use it. I mean, now when I go out squatching, I still use all the same stuff, but I'm more into energy now, and I have 250 different pieces of equipment that reads different kinds of energy. You know what I mean? And I'll go out and I'll do a baseline, and then I'll do some stuff to try to jack up the energy, see what happens. If it jacks up, then I'll do another reading to see how the energy has changed. I like to do day and night because the energy changes from day to night. The sun and the moon affect the energies differently, you know? But in this day and age, I mean, I've been doing this for such a long time. And a few years ago, I had an ascension. They called it an ascension. I just called it an out-of-body experience. But I was told of the secrets of the universe. And it was frequency, vibration, consciousness, and intention. And then it dawned on me that, you know, we use all of those things in everything we do, whether we're ghost hunting or squatching or trying to do C5s with aliens. You know what I mean? We're using all the same things, those four or five different things. And that's what I was told was the secret of the universe. And so I use everything. I use all the same stuff. When I'm out squatching, I like to use different colored glow sticks. The squatches like the different colors. You know what I mean? Here's a breaking news. Squatches do see in color, just like you and me. So they see different colors. I've actually tested them to just figure this out if it was actually true. I tested them with different color strings. Okay. I would put a pink string up. And I would come back and there would be something pink next to it, whether it was a child's toy or a dog squeaky toy. Then I would put a yellow string up, and the same thing. Every time I changed the color of the strings, there would be, and I went back, there would be a gift that was the same color. And then what they did is they would tie all the strings into like knots. You know what I mean? And almost like a braid, you know? And it takes thumbs to do that. I know it's not, you know, bears doing that or anything. And that's how I figured out that they all have, that they actually see in color. I'm using all the same equipment for everything now, where before it was different. I left a lot of stuff home when I went out in the woods and vice versa. You know, now it just seemed like my backpack. I got this giant backpack. It's like 3 feet long. It's got like 60 pounds worth of stuff in it. It's a lot to carry, especially when you're hiking in 4 miles deep into the woods and you're hiking off trail. It's a bit much, but I'm like one of those guys that never wants to miss anything, you know?
Right.
And I don't need this. And then I'll say, I better take that just in case, you know? I think in the end, if you think about it, everything we do for ghost hunting and we do for squatching, we do for C5s. We're trying to make contact. You know what I mean? We're putting out different kinds of frequencies and vibrations, trying to drill them in. There are certain stones I'll wear when I go out squatching that's supposed to resonate. At an alien, like if we're doing the C5, I got a stone for that. That's supposed to resonate at an alien frequency, you know, and stuff like that.
So can you explain exactly? I mean, I know what it is, you know, we talked about it, but can you explain exactly what the CE5 initiative is?
Yeah, it's called the CE5 Close Encounter of the Fifth Kind, where a group of people, like-minded people get together. And they all think the same thoughts of trying to make contact with alien life forms, whether you call them UFOs, UAPs. I like UFOs. So I'm old and old school, but, and then you try to bring them in, you know, and a lot of times you won't know they're there. You'll think that like, oh, this, you know, we used to do, and the Hastings on the Hudson along the Hudson River. You know, we had a really nice spot up on a high park that overlooked the river. We used to do them there. And people would say, oh, nothing came in. You know, we don't see anything. And then we would take photographs and they would, and there they were in our photographs. We couldn't see them with our naked eye, but they would be in the photos. Sometimes they would come in and show themselves to you as a ball of light or whatever. And then I like to do a Morse code with a tactical flashlight and see if they'll do it back. And sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. Or I'll take a laser pointer and do a squiggly line, or I'll point from one like mountain top to the other real quick and see if they'll fly from one to the other on command, you know? So, but it's all consciousness, you know what I mean? You're putting these thoughts out there and everybody's doing it together, you know? It's like a mass, almost like a mass prayer, you know? There's a strength in mass prayers. And so, I mean, it's crazy stuff. And it works the same way with the ghost. You know, you're trying to make contact, whether you're using a ghost box or an obelisk or something like that. You're trying to make contact. And the same thing with the Sasquatches, whether you're using tree knocks or whoops or something, you're trying to make contact, you know? And the longer you do this, the more things you find that work in different genres. You know what I mean? Sometimes it's Tibetan singing bowls work great for paranormal stuff. You know, the frequencies that they put out, incense or, Native American drum music or flute music works great for Sasquatches. You know what I mean? They'll hear that if they're in the area and they'll come in to investigate, you know, or if they smell the room. There's actually a couple of different incenses I use that are the same scent of things that they use for municipal purposes and for food. And when they smell it, they come right away. You know what I mean? Because this stuff only blooms for certain times of the year. So there, it's only available to, especially up here in the Northeast, during the spring, summer, fall. It's not different plants bloom at different times. You know what I mean? And there's certain things, certain incenses I use that replicate those plants blooming that bring them in, you know? So.
I have a question. You mentioned, bear with me, I'm not sure if this is the right way to ask it or not, but you know, you mentioned earlier that your family used to do seances and stuff at your house when you were younger. As a young child, did you ever experience any poltergeist activity because of those seances?
You know what?
Anything I don't intent?
We've seen stuff on the table move. You know what I mean? Like ashtrays and stuff go from one end of the table to the other. We've seen the candles, the flames go from 1 inch to a foot and then back down again, which is pretty wild when you see that. Stuff like that, I don't remember like doors opening or stuff getting thrown across the room or anything like that. No. Because, you know, they were always trying to contact some dead relatives. My family was always obsessed with contacting a dead relative for some reason. You know what I mean? They weren't just trying to make contact with any entity that's out there. They were very specific, you know?
Yeah, no. As far as with the UFO stuff, can you share your, I guess the one that you told at the seminar that day, your UFO experience? You had the abduction?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. You know,
the attempted abduction.
Yeah. Well, yeah. That was pretty wild. Absolutely. Yeah. It was, I was going through an issue with my eyes for the longest time. The light was hurting my eyes. And I was going to the doctor like every week. They were giving me all kinds of different medication. I had to wear dark sunglasses for like 3 months. And they were at a loss. They really didn't know what to do at this point. They wanted to do a spinal tap on me to see what was in there. And the week before we were going to do the spinal tap, it was late September, and they were doing a Native American powwow at Bear Mountain Park in Orange. I think it's Orange County or Rockland County. And I had that weekend off. I told my wife, let's take the kids to the powwow. It should be really great, you know, see the Indians dancing around and stuff. And my son was really small, about four. He was in a stroller. My daughter was about eight at the time. And we just parked the car and we were walking in to the event where all the vendors were. And as we were walking down one of the aisles, and you know, checking out all the beads and everything in the rings, little Native American dude stepped out from one of the rooms, and he said to me, "He said, you have something dark attached to you." He said, "And if you want, I can get it off you." And I was like, "Okay, what's this going to cost me?" And he said, "No, I'll do it for free. It's, you know, I'm a healer. That's what I do." So I said, "Okay." I told my wife, let me go in here and see if the doctors can't figure it out. If this guy can heal me, and I don't need to get a spinal tap, I'm all for that. So I went into this room and he closed the door. There was another Native American in there and he was doing the beating on the drums. And this guy was dancing around with the sage, and the room got so, there was so much smoke in the room. It looked like the room was on fire. At one point, it was like, I couldn't even see him. I could just hear him. And I could hear the guy beating on a drum, and it felt like an outer body experience. It was weird because it just felt like something from the Twilight Zone, you know? And then he stopped. He opened up all the doors and the windows. He let all the smoke out. And he was in the back of the room. I was facing forward, and the guy with the tom-tom to my right. And he had like a cabinet set up behind me. And I heard him rummaging through some drawers, and I could hear him moving some stones around. And he put a stone in a little yellow leather patch. And he told me to wear it from now on, and it would protect me from whatever was attached to me, and never to take it off. Never to touch it with my hands. Since if I touched it with my hands, it would lose its healing powers. And I was like, okay, I put it on. I walked outside of his booth, and I was healed. I didn't have a headache anymore. I didn't have, my eyes didn't hurt. I felt like $1 million. So we went and we enjoyed the day. One of the Native Americans built a bow and arrow out of a stick for my son. I mean, he did it like in 2 seconds. It was amazing, you know, so we went home and it was pretty cool. I mean, I was very, very happy. I didn't have this pain anymore. And Halloween rolls around. That was the end of October. The end of October rolls around. And, you know, my daughter dresses up as Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz. And my son is like a pirate or a cowboy or something. I don't even remember. And we do the whole neighborhood thing with all the other families in the neighborhood. And we get back, and it's kind of late, you know, and we get back and put the kids to bed. My wife and I go to bed. I got a 125-pound German Shepherd canine trained laying at the foot of my bed, and we're sleeping. Everybody's sleeping. It's a cold night. It was very, very cold that night, and the heat was pumping in the house, so much so that the necklace was making me sweat bullets. So I took the necklace off and I put it on the nightstand next to the bed. And at some point during the course of the night, a bright light came through the room. I came through the windows, even though the curtains and the shades were closed. This light came through the room and it woke me up. And when it woke me up, I wasn't in my body. I was sitting on the headboard of my bed. My bed's headboard is flat and it has shelving. I was sitting on the headboard of my bed, and it was 2 5-foot gray aliens starting to levitate me. They're levitating me off my bed, and I'm sitting there watching them. Now, I don't even know if they could see me, but I could see them. And I'm wondering, why isn't the dog attacking this thing? I paid a lot of money to get this dog trained. The dog is snoring. My wife is snoring. And it's starting to levitate me. And I'm actually up off the bed. And they're bringing me towards the window. Now, I'm sitting on the headboard that's in front of the windows. And I'm saying to myself, how the hell are they going to get me out the window the windows are closed, you know? And I'm sitting there and I got all these thoughts going through my head. And all of a sudden, my daughter starts screaming in the other room. I mean, she's screaming bloody murder. And I pop back into my body. The aliens are gone. They blink out. The light is gone. The dog is the first one up. He makes a beeline into the kids' room, followed by my wife, followed by me. We get to the kids' room, and my daughter is laying across my son's legs, holding him down. My son is sitting up crying hysterically. He has no idea what's going on. And I say to her, I say, Amanda, what's going on? And she said, Dad, a light came into the room, and then Dorothy came in. And I go, what do you mean Dorothy came in? She said, Dorothy came in the room. Dorothy from the Wizard of Oz was in the room. And she told me that they wanted to take Nicholas out to the light, but they would bring him back before the morning. And I said, no, you can't take my brother. And she was having a tug of war with this alien that was showing itself to her as Dorothy, because that's what she was that night. And I guess it didn't want to scare her, showing itself to her the way it was. And my son didn't know any of this. And so I'm trying to figure this out. I'm thinking everything I just experienced was a dream. But now this is kind of validating everything that just happened to me. If they're taking me and they're taking my son, and I had the light come through my window, she had the light come through her windows. And so I said, okay. I went outside. There was no craft hovering over the house or anything like that. We put the kids back to bed. We put the dog in between them, and we went to sleep. And the next morning, you know, the kids were the first ones to get up because they wanted to get to all that Halloween candy. And they ran downstairs, and my wife, let me go downstairs with them, you know. And she went down with the dog. She had to let the dog out. And I said to her before she left, I said, did that really happen later? She doesn't know anything about what I was going through. I'm just asking her about my daughter. And I said, did that really happen last night with Amanda? And then she's like, yeah, Amanda had a bad dream. And I was like, I don't know if it was a dream, babe, you know? And so then I explained to her what happened to me. And she's like, well, I don't know, because I'm just going to go with it was a dream. But my daughter will tell you to this day, it was not a dream. And, so then I realized I'm not wearing that necklace. And I'm wondering if it's because they came that night because I took the necklace off. And I'm wondering if I had the necklace on, would they have tried to take me or just my son? So I take the necklace and I open it up and I roll it out on the bed. And I show Joe the rock. And it's this elongated stone that looks like an alien head. It looks like something you'd see out of the skulls in Peru. Okay, it's elongated, but the flat side of the stone has two dots for an eye, a dot for a nose, and a dot for a mouth, and it looks like a face. And I just didn't know what the hell kind of stone it was. And so I said, okay. I didn't touch it. I used a napkin and everything to put it back in the bag and everything. And I put the thing back on, and I still have it in that same yellow leather pouch. And the following year, I made a point to going back to the powwow because I wanted to talk to the shaman, because the guy told me he was a shaman. And I said, I wanted to talk to the shaman that healed me. So we get back to the powwow. We park exactly in the same parking lot. We walk the same route because I want to find this guy's booth. And he's nowhere to be found. So I was asking around. I came across the promoter of the event. And I said, where's the shaman that was in this booth over here last year? And this guy said, what the hell are you talking about? I said, I was cleansed last year by a shaman. He was in this booth right here last year. And he cleansed me. And he said, first of all, he says, the Native Americans in the Northeast, we don't have shamans in North America. We have medicine men. So if someone told you they were a shaman, they weren't from us. The shamans are only in South America and in the Far East. That's what he said. I was like, okay, well, and he goes, our Native American medicine men are in the back of the park in the teepees with the elders. He goes, go talk to them. So I went to the back of the park and I talked to the elders and I told them the whole story and I showed them the stone. And then they went and they talked to the medicine men, and the medicine men came out, and here I am with all these medicine men from all these different tribes. I think there was like 5 or 6 different tribes there at the time. And here I am with all the 5 or 6 different elders from these tribes. And I'm showing them a stone. And I go, I think it's a sandstone. I don't know what it is. It looks like a sandstone to me. And they looked at it and they said, nope, not a sandstone. He said, this is a tiger's eye. He said, and we don't use this in our ceremonies up here in North America. Because again, it's something they would use in South America or the Far East. So I don't know who that guy was. I don't know if he was an alien that cleansed me or what, but I still have that stone. And my daughter screaming that night, wrestling, you know, having a tug of war with Dorothy validated what happened to me. You know, it really did. And that's, and like I said, if that didn't happen, I would have thought my experience was just a dream. There would have been no way I would have thought it was anything else other than a dream.
How old were your kids, like, when that situation happened?
I think Amanda was 8 and Nick was 4. Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Yeah. And my daughter was always, like, you know, very tough for her age because she was a martial artist and she was very advanced for her age in the martial arts. So she didn't take any shit. So when Dorothy was trying to take her brother, she's like, nope, you're not having my brother. You're not taking my brother, you know? But, yeah, she had no fear, you know? And thank God they showed themselves to her as Dorothy and not what they really did look like, because she'd probably never sleep again. Even this stuff now with this UFO that's hovering around the house, I'm sending her videos and she's like, thank God I don't live there anymore. She says, because I would never be able to sleep at night.
So let's talk about that, because we talked about it before I pressed record and stuff. Why you've been having these experiences where they kind of follow you, right? I mean, are they always around? Like, why do you think that is? Like, do you think somehow, I mean, because you see that a lot with people who have been abducted and people who have seen, you know, the Men in Black and stuff like that. Like, it seems like these UFOs are always attracted to them. Like, do you think you have something? Do you think they, you know, have something, you know, implanted something or anything like that? Or
I think at some point in my life, they did implant me with something, because when I was 10 years old, me and my best friend Richie were Rich was sleeping over my house. It was during the summer, and we were up on my father's A-frame roof, and we're listening to like a rock station out of the city. And he's looking east. I'm looking west, and we're just sky watching. You know, I was always fascinated with the sky and the space and everything. And we seen what looked like stars dancing in the sky. So I told Rich, I said, watch this, Rich. I jumped down and went in my father's garage, and he had this big high-powered lamp that he used to use when he went crabbing in Jersey. He would put the lamp in the water and the crabs would just come right up to the light and scoop them into the boat, you know? So I did like a Morse code with it, you know? And they stopped dancing. So then Rich said, let me try. And he did it. And one of them dropped down to just above the air traffic coming out of the city. And then I said, let me try again. And then I tried it again. And it did the same code back that I did. And then we got scared and we ran in the house and slept under the bed the whole night. But after that experience, I was about 10 years old. After that experience, I started sleepwalking. And one night I got out of the bed and I'm walking past my mother and father watching Johnny Carson after the news. And I'm taking these really big steps. And my father's like, where are you going? And I said, I'm going home. He goes, oh, really? I go, yeah. He goes, well, where do you live? I said, I'm from the moon, I told him. And he goes, really? He goes, yeah. And he spun me around, kicked me in the ass, sent me back to bed. And right after that, I started getting a lot of nosebleeds. And, you know, I went from an all-Italian neighborhood to an all-Irish neighborhood. I had to fight every guy in the neighborhood to get their respect. Okay. And I had a lot of fat lips and black eyes and stuff like that, but I never got a nosebleed. Even if you punched me straight on in the nose, my nose never bled. And then all of a sudden I'm waking up and there's blood all over the wall. There's blood all over the pillow. And I said to my father, I said, I don't pop. I don't know what's going on. My nose never bleeds, even if I get punched in it. And he goes, oh, it's because you don't stay still at night. You're flipping, you flop, and you hit your head against the face against the wall, and you get a nosebleed. And I just took it at face value because I know I'm a flipper and flopper, you know? But right. It didn't really dawn on to me till years later. And I was like, wait a minute. Now my nose is so bad that I've had it cauterized 6 different times. They tried 6 different styles of cauterization on me, and nothing ever takes. It always falls out. Like a couple of weeks later, the cauterization falls out. Nothing ever takes. So, yeah, I think I was chipped when I did the show with, what's his name? Mark D'Antonio and, what's the guy's name? Who was the FBI agent? I forgot his name. Ben Hansen. We did a show for the Travel Channel. And at the end of the show, they took my blood. There was a whole bunch of us that they took blood from that were, you know, all part of the show. And mine was the only one that came back HR negative. And that's supposed to be the alien blood. I don't know how true it is, but that's what they said. They said, you know, your blood is the only one out of all the people in the cast that came back HR negative. You know, I said, well, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what that means. But I know my last name in Italian means holy line. We've had our family lineage reached back to ancient Rome. My name is an original name of Rome before the Roman Empire was famous. And we've had relatives that were documented officers in the Roman Empire, you know. So, and I know my mother's side, her father and her grandfather were both counts in Northern Italy. So I don't know if it has something to do with the bloodline, if it has something to do with the blood type. I don't know. All I know is that I'm very conscious of these things. There was a period in 2012 where I was seeing a different craft every morning on the way to work and every night on the way home. And I thought I was losing my mind. And it was always a different kind of craft. It was never like the same craft. It was, I seen everything you could possibly see. And I called my brother who was living at Michigan at the time. And he was a MUFON field investigator at the time out in Michigan. And I said, Frank, I'm losing my mind. I'm seeing all these things. He's like, bring a camera, take pictures, do this, do that. And I was like, okay. But every time I would see him in the night sky, I'd pull over, the camera never worked. The camera never worked. And then as soon as I got home, I'd take a picture and the camera would work great. And I've had this happen to me. A thing I call the red craft. It looks almost like I call it like a football, but it's all red. And that happened over, I tried to take a picture of it. I live at the bottom of a cul-de-sac, and our cul-de-sac is a hill. It used to be all apple orchards, and it's got a middle loop and it got a top loop. I went up to the top of the mountain to get a closer picture of the red craft. And I pulled a digital camera out and I went to take a picture, and they said the batteries were dead. Now the batteries were brand new, but I said, okay, I got more batteries. I took the old batteries out. I put new batteries in. I went to take a picture again, and again, it said the batteries were dead. I drive, it's actually a full mile around the loop. I drive down to my house, which is about a mile away. I get in my driveway, and I go to take a picture, and the camera works great with both sets of batteries. And this happened 3 times. One time, I was on the parkway coming home, and my car started bucking, and I was like, oh, man, I'm going to get stuck on a parkway. But I was right by a park and ride that was closed. They had like a store in there, they sold coffee and breakfasts in the morning because people would park there, you know. And car was puttering, but I had just enough energy to get off the parkway so I wouldn't get hit. And I pulled into the parking ride, And I'm thinking, oh man, I got to call my wife to come and get me, and I got to get a tow truck. I got to call the state police to get a tow truck. And I looked up, and there above the store was something that looked like Ezekiel's wheel from the Bible, right? It looks just like Ezekiel's wheel. And I swear to God, I could have hit it with a stone. And it was just sitting there looking at me. And it was funny because it was parked like on a 45 degree angle. And I'm thinking, you know, it's not even straight. It's on an angle. And I'm looking at it and it's looking at me. And I'm thinking, man, I could hit this thing with a stone. I'm looking for a rock to throw at it, you know? And it bounced up. But just a blink of an eye, it went up like 1,000 feet and the car started right back up. And then it just, boom, 1/1000 of a second, it was gone. And I got back in the car and I drove home, and I never had another issue with the car ever again.
Wow.
That's, you got some stories, man. That stuff is crazy. I mean, it's unbelievable. It really is. I mean, but as I told Nat, actually, before we even started talking, I said, listen, I said, this guy is one of the most non-BS guys I've ever met. I said, he's a straight up New York City Italian guy like we are. he's a no BS kind of guy, you know? And that's exactly what I told him. And, you know, that's kind of like whenever I'm telling my paranormal stories to people that I have, I always give a disclaimer before I say, listen, I'll tell you everything that's happened to me, but just so you know, I'm not telling it for you. You know, I don't care whether you believe me or not.
Absolutely. Because
I know what I experienced was what I experienced.
Yes, I agree. Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
that's a great way to think.
And that's kind of how, I mean, and that's kind of how I view a lot of people's experiences too, is like, you know what? I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt, because if it was real to you, it's real to me. Now, a lot of these groups on Facebook, they post these pictures. That stuff is a little different. Like when they say, oh, there's a figure in the window. Like, no, that's just a reflection of a tree, you know, stuff like that. But, you know, people's experiences like that, that's some real stuff, you know? And like, at least if they believe that stuff was real, then, you know, who am I to say it wasn't? I wasn't there.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. No, I try not to call bullshit on people's stuff, because I know my stuff is so crazy. And I know a lot of people call bullshit on me, but I don't care. You know, I'm a big boy. You can say whatever you want. So I try not to call bullshit, but you know, there are just some people that are just making it up as they go, you know, and those people are easy. There's so many red flags in their story that you just know that they're full of shit, you know? But
yeah,
I mean, like I said, I've had so many experiences. I've seen so many different kinds of crafts. I was coming home one time from work and I was going up Flintstock Mountain. And I was coming over the other side, and there used to be a ski area at Flintstock Mountain back in the day. And now there's just like a state police outpost there, you know? And there's never anybody in the state police outpost. It's just never there. And I'm coming down the mountain, and I see this thing in the night sky. And the night sky was black as ink. And I see this thing spitting out colors, all different colors. And it looked like a colored sparkler on the 4th of July burning off. That's what it looked like, right? So I pull into the parking lot and of this abandoned ski resort, and I'm looking up at this thing, and the colors, even though the sky was pitch black, even the darkest colors, the purples and the blues and the greens, you could see them vividly. They were the most purest colors I've ever seen in my life. It was just, I couldn't believe how beautiful they were. And then I remember I had the camera in the car. So I pull out the camera and I go to take a picture. And of course, the camera doesn't work. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. But when I pulled into the lot, I did do a time check. I do a time check whenever I see these things. And that's the one thing I tell everybody. When you see a UFO in the sky, you see something, do a time check. This way you know how long it takes you to get from point A to point B. And if there's time missing, then you probably were abducted. So I'm sitting there looking at this thing in the sky, in a nice sky, and it was so beautiful that it was actually, I felt like I was being hypnotized by the colors. And I'm sitting there and I'm looking and I'm looking and I'm looking. And then I hear a little voice in the back of my head say, you know, this parking lot is pretty big. that thing could probably land in this parking lot. And I said, okay, maybe it's time to get in the car and go home now, you know? And that's because when I see something in the night sky, especially now with all the drones and everybody's got a drone, the cops, the military, everybody's got drones. When I see something in the night sky, if I don't hear that voice in the back of my head that says, pay attention to this, it's important, I don't pay any mind to it. I just drive right by it. You know what I mean? Sometimes I'll get a ringing in the ear. So like when I seen that thing outside the house the other night, it was the first time I got a ringing in the ear, but it was a low frequency and it was going through both ears. And that never happened to me before. It was always usually one or the other, but there was a low frequency going through both ears. If I get a vibe, I like to call it a vibe. Something will tell me, look up, pay attention to this. It's important. And, I've had a lot of sightings of a lot of different kinds of crafts in the skies. And, I was telling that story that one night I was going down, I was coming up through Fornstock and I seen this thing that almost looked like an egg beater in the sky. And it had a light, like a searchlight. It was looking for something. And it was moving real slow, and it was a weird looking thing. The bottom looked like an egg beater, but the top looked like a top, like a kid's toy's top, you know? It was very weird looking. Right. And there was a light coming out of it, and it looked like it was searching for something. And that was like the only time I ever seen a UFO where I got a bad vibe. And the little voice in the back of my head said, stop. Don't go through this park tonight. Don't go up this mountain. Go around. And even though it was going to take me an extra half hour to go around, I went around because I felt like if I was going to go up that mountain that night, I probably would have got abducted or who knows what, because it was giving off a bad vibe to me, you know? So I just said, okay, I'm going to get off the parkway, take the long way around and, you know, get back on the parkway past Fornstock. You know, when I got back on, I was past Fornstock. I was closer to Fishkill, you know? But that was the only time I got a bad vibe when I seen something in the sky like that. And the only other time I got a bad vibe was, I was telling you, I was coming home and it was a V in the sky. It wasn't a triangle, it was a V. And it had three lights on it, but it had a light in the center of the V. But it wasn't a solid, like a triangle. The V was, like the light was closer to the front. And the light was coming down and it was pouring rain and it was lit. I mean, there was no way you couldn't see this. This thing was the size of a football field and it was had this light coming down out of it. And they were just building a strip mall off of Route 82 at the time. There were none of the stores were open, but the power was set up. And I thought the thing was sucking the power out of the junction boxes, you know? And I seen it and I said, I wasn't going to stop because it was raining. But then I got to the next exit and I said, you know what? I got to go back. So I turned around and I went back. And when I got there, I was driving the Subaru at the time, Forester. And when I got there, there was fog on the ground, like 4 feet of fog, as high as my car. And my car was white. So the fog was the same color as my car. I could even see the hood of my car. And I was going to get out and go see what this light was doing because the craft was still there and it was still had this beam coming down. And when I opened the door to get out, the little voice in my head said, don't do it. You don't know what's in this fog and you don't want to know. You should get in the car. And I was like, I actually opened the door and I got out and I was standing behind the car door for safety, debating with myself. Normally, if my gut tells me not to do it, I don't do it. But every now and then I will roll the dice. But that night I said, no, I'm not going to roll the dice. I can't see what's in this fog. There could be aliens on the ground for all I know, you know? So I left. I got home. I called my brother. I told him about it. He said, go back Sunday with a camera, take photographs. So it had rained that whole day, that whole night and the following day. So everything was saturated. And when I went back, but when they built the strip mall, they built the parking lot on an angle so the water would run into a giant catch basin, right? So that the parking lot wouldn't flood for the people who were shopping there. And so I get there and I go over to the junction box that I thought it was siphoning the energy out of. But the junction box, there was nothing wrong with it. And there was a creek in front of the strip mall, and the creek was running so fast. It was like a white water rapids, okay, from all the rain. But the catch basin was dry. So I took pictures of the catch basin, and the catch basin was so dry that the dirt was cracking and the grass around it was all yellow, burnt. And I sent it to my brother out in Michigan. I said, I guess it was siphoning up the water. Maybe that light was so hot when it was siphoning up the water that that fog wasn't really fog. It was steam or something. You know what I mean? Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, but it was crazy. Huh. Yeah.
So what do you got coming up like in the near future for any of your endeavors?
What do you got coming up? Well, we just finished another Bigfoot expedition a couple of weeks ago, and we didn't run into any Bigfoots, but we ran into a couple of dogmen. But that's another story for another day.
I was going to ask you about that. It's getting kind of long. I wanted to ask you about what dogman was in your experience. If you could keep it short.
I can't keep it short. There's too much to get into. It's just way too much. But I will tell you what. Yeah, it's a whole nother segment. Yeah, but it was the first time it went off when we were out there. It was about a quarter mile away, and they sent the coyotes off. And we got the recording of the coyotes going off. We weren't quick enough to get the voice recorder going to get the... But we got the coyotes, but the coyotes went off for like 5 minutes straight, nonstop. And they sound like they were all around us, you know? And then we didn't hear anything from the coyotes or the dogman the rest of the night. And then again, as we were leaving, when we got down onto the Appalachian Trail to hike out, he went off again. But this time it felt like he was right behind us. And he wanted us, he was telling us, it's time for you guys to leave because I want to hunt and you're in my way, you know?
And these guys are kind of vicious, right? That's what they're known to be, kind of.
They're very intimidating.
Or at least confrontational.
Yeah, they're very intimidating.
And when I think of a dog man, like, I think what I picture is a werewolf. Is that kind of like, what are they really kind of like, what do they look like?
Yeah, they kind of look like werewolves, but the difference is that the werewolf's ears are on the side and the dog man's ears are on the top of their head. And there's a couple of different breeds of them. Some look like coyotes. Not coyotes, hyenas. They have a shorter snout. Some look like giant wolves with a giant wolf head and a protruding, you know, snout, a long snout. There's a bunch of different types. But the one that went off behind us, he was a big boy. Yeah, because the way he went off, it was like the whole woods vibrated, and I told my cousin, it's time for us to leave, man. Let's see. Normally, like I said, it's a 4 mile hike out, and normally I'll stop every mile to get a drink of water or so. I'm an old dude, you know, I'm a big guy. I'm an old dude. I like to stop every mile or so to get a drink of water, just take a 5 minute break because the backpack weighs like 60 pounds, you know, and we're walking across these treacherous rocks that are, it's like a goat trail. I mean, if you fall on these rocks, you're going to kill yourself. So you got to go slow. But that night, I hiked out 4 miles straight without stopping for a drink of water. I said, no, we're just going to keep going tonight.
You know, you don't have to answer this one, but I hope you guys or somebody is armed with something when you guys are going out looking for that stuff.
Yeah, do you have something to protect yourself?
Yeah. I never let anybody carry firearms, right? Number one, I don't trust anybody with firearms but myself. And if I don't bring them, you can't have them. But we always go out with pepper spray, 18 inch machetes and 10 inch survival knives. Yeah. So, I mean, we do have steel to put between us and anything that comes towards us, you know? So, because I believe that these creatures have been around for a millennium and they don't really fear the gun as much as they feel the long blade. They see what a long blade has been able to do to them over the centuries, cut off arms and limbs and slice them open from head to toe. You know what I mean? So I think they respect a long blade a lot more than they do a gun, even though they see guns kill deer all the time in the woods. You know, I just don't, I don't think they fear a gun the way they fear a long blade.
So how could someone get in touch with you if they need your expertise in anything, or if they want to know more about, you know, what you're doing?
You can find me on Facebook and any of the groups, the Bronxville Paranormal Society, the North American Dogman Project. I'm a Region 3 director there, the New York State Sasquatch Organization, the New York State UFO Project, any of those groups, or they could just reach out to me on Facebook, on Private Messenger. I'm very accessible. If you reach out to me, I will answer you back if you have questions or whatever. But I'm not going to give you any locations to go to look for these things, and I'm not going to tell you how to find them because I don't want to be responsible for anybody getting killed.
Right. Yeah, of course. And the last question is it true what they say about Bigfoot? You know, big feet, big, you know.
Yeah, really?
Do you know?
Well, I tell people all the time, when you see one of these things in front of you for the first time, your brain cannot comprehend what your eyes are seeing. Your brain wants to shut down because they're so massive, Joe. I mean, they go from anywhere from 7 to 10 feet tall.
How close have you gotten to one of them?
I've had one belly crawl up to me to about 7 feet away.
Wow.
That's too close, man.
Yeah, too close.
It's too close.
I've seen them face to face as a kid. I've seen one down in Florida face to face that was only maybe 20 feet away from me. But you know, like when you see these things, your brain shuts down because monsters aren't supposed to exist. But here's this thing that's 7 to 10 feet tall, shoulders 4 to 5 feet wide, anywhere from 1,000 to 1,500 pounds, and it's just standing there looking at you. You know, I mean, monsters do exist. You know, the good thing with the Sasquatches is most of the times when you run across one of them and it sees you, it will just turn and walk away. You know, the dogman will give you you'll have a Mexican standoff with the dogman. He may even bluff charge you. But if they do bluff charge you, don't shoot them unless they're actually almost on you, because most of the times they'll stop because they just want to scare you off. And most people will just turn and run anyway, you know, yeah. Which is something I never say to do because it'll get their prey drive going. I always say back off slowly. But they'll try to intimidate you. They'll run you off I've been bluff charged.
But
are they more
not to get into a whole another conversation, but are they more human? Are they more animal? Like what are a hybrid? Like what exactly, you know, like they're intelligent, right? I mean,
they're very intelligent. Yeah. They're very intelligent. They're aggressive in a way too, because like I said, they will, if they see you, they will walk towards you. They won't turn and walk away, you know, and they'll look at you and you'll see this giant head that's bigger than it should be with all these giant teeth and arms and claws. It's very, very, very intimidating. And you just have to stand your ground or back away slowly. But never turn and run, because you'll just trigger their prey drive. I'm a big proponent of standing your ground, especially if it's more than one of you and you have numbers, you know, there's strength in numbers. Even if they don't turn and run and they just stop and everybody's having this Mexican stuff, you can back away slowly eventually to where you can turn your back on them and walk away, because if they were going to come, they would have came, you know? Yeah. But they've done DNA testing on them, and just like the Sasquatches, the mitochondrial DNA is unknown. No, it's human female, but the nuclear DNA is unknown. So they both have human DNA, but on the female side. And like I said, the male side, the DNA is unknown. I don't particularly believe that either one of them are Nephilims, and a lot of people going down that Nephilim road now. I don't believe that at all. I just think they're from another realm, you know?
Listen, man, thank you again for coming, you know, coming on the show.
That was awesome. Thank you so much.
You know, it was awesome. You know, I really appreciate you taking time out and speaking to us and stuff.
No, anytime for you, brother. You just hit me up and you got me.
Thank you so much, Al, for that awesome interview.
That was awesome.
I really, really appreciate that, man. You definitely are an awesome, awesome storyteller, and we're definitely going to have you back on again for some more. We didn't really go much into the whole ghost stuff, so we'll have to touch on that next time, and possibly some more of the cryptid stuff, because that's the one thing I really don't know much about, is the whole cryptid thing. So I definitely want to learn a little bit more about that. And now, on to some horrible reviews with Edgegrave Dave.
Dun, dun, dun.
Horrible reviews with Edgegrave Dave.
Exercise me, please. Would you please pass the ghoulish gravy so I can cover the corpse of my cold dead bird? And while you're at it, please pass the bloody damn buried sauce so I have something sinister on the side. Greetings, gravy diggers, and happy Thanksgiving, because the feature fright that we will be discussing tonight is the brand new 2023 Eli Roth's Thanksgiving. Or is it brand new? This might be some twisted turkey, ladies and gents. Let's get into it. First thing that I want to get out of the way right now is that this movie was actually a mock trailer for the 2007 film Grindhouse, which had Death Proof and Planet Terror by Robert Rodriguez and Quentin Tarantino. You know, it's very similar to how Art the Clown was actually debuting in a film called All Hallows Eve, which was a horror anthology. Although that actually had a minor story to it, this was a really 70s gritty type of a mock trailer, which I found very interesting. And then Eli Roth made a feature film out of it in 2023, all the way from 2007. So how about that for you? Right, ladies and gents, it's time to stuff some facts down your throats. This film was directed by Eli Roth. Screenplay by Jeff Rendell with the story as well by Eli Roth. This was produced by Roger Birnbaum, Eli Roth, and Jeff Rendell, starring Patrick Dempsey, Addison Rae, Milo Mannheim, you know, from that comedy kind of Zombies 2, Zombies 3, Disney film. Welcome to horror, my friend. The real one. Jalen Thomas Brooks, Nell Verlack, Rick Hoffman. Hey, remember him from Hostel? And Gina Gershon. Let's also not forget that this is by TriStar Pictures. And as my buddy Bill would say, here it comes! Look out! It was one of those, look out, here it comes. Because it was a freaking unicorn that back in the 80s, it used to race and run right on the screen. Oh, it's so great that they actually brought that back. Brings back some really horrifying memories of a freaking unicorn running up to you. Okay, it's okay. Unicorns, TriStar Pictures, through Sony, you know, Sony, things like Spider-Man, PlayStation. Okay. Here we kill! Because Thanksgiving, we have another horror film that's a holiday theme. You know, we have things like Halloween, Friday the 13th, My Bloody Valentine, Black Christmas. I mean, look, it's like every holiday is like freaking horror day, like Halloween, right? So when I saw this, I'm thinking, all right, what are they churning out this time? But I got to tell you, this movie, and here it comes, spoiler alert, don't let your turkey and your stuffing spoil, ladies and gentlemen, because this film was actually, I thought, mostly very entertaining. It had a lot of comedic elements to it. It had some interesting kills. The only issue that I had with it is that there was so much buildup and I was enjoying it. I don't completely agree with the way that the ending was really created. Let's just say that there was a certain buildup or something happens at the end. You have what you believe is a climax, and then you have something that is a cross kind of between a slasher, a little bit of maybe a Scream thing. It has some comedy elements to it. I mean, it just wanted to be so many different things where I knew that by looking at the trailer that was played before so many movies that have come out, both theatrically in the theaters and streaming. I knew that by the trailer that we were going to have a mass pilgrim. I wasn't really sure what was going on, but this is one of those cases. And, you know, I try not to look at other people's reviews before I review something myself. But the only thing that I saw, and I could not agree more, this goddamn trailer gave away so much. I mean, is it like the generation of people? They don't think our attention span could really handle all that much. Do they think that they have to give us just about everything to try to get us in? I mean, guys, leave a little bit left to be desired. That would be if I could just do one thing, is that nowadays I feel like they do give away so much. And this isn't just limited to the horror genre. I feel this happens a lot with all those damn superhero movies, even with comedies. I mean, just leave a little bit to be desired. I mean, there are teaser trailers and then there are full-on trailers, but even some of the kills were actually shown in these trailers, which one of my favorites, if you look at the lady that's locked right in the refrigerator or freezer, whatever it is, her fingertips are being stuck and peeled off with her slimy skin right on the door. Oh, that was pretty awesome. Speaking of the kills, there were some pretty brutal ones. You know, I love how they showed just a little bit more than they had to. You know, it was pretty enjoyable. The overall story, I mean, it starts out, again, spoiler alert, you have like a Walmart type store and there's just a crazy massacre, people getting trampled. It's just so ridiculous and so funny and also so grotesque at the same time. And then a year later, you have the story of this pilgrim that's going after people named John Carver for a certain reason, or maybe a variety of reasons. I ain't going to tell you. You just have to see it through to the very end. You have a bunch of teenagers in the main cast that sort of getting picked off one by one, and other people from this massacre that happened a year prior. You know, the overall story, they certainly did try to build towards it. But the reason why I am going to rate it a 3 out of 5 graves is because while I did think that the movie was going a certain kind of a way and I was enjoying a lot of the creative and grotesque shown kills in it, the comedy, again, what the story was building up to, I just like to look at things as a complete picture. And I felt that the sort of confusing, contorted, and twisted ending at the very end left just a little bit to be desired and ended a little abruptly. But again, certainly not a bad movie by any means. I think that this could also help with the Thanksgiving, maybe new horror tradition of watching this movie. I think that Eli Roth really did put a lot of thought into this movie and everybody that was involved. And hey, guys, there is a scene, and I just love it when heavy metal is kind of thrown into the mix in some way, even subliminally. And there was a conversation about Black Sabbath where this kid didn't know who Ozzy, Black Sabbath, or Ronnie James Dio were. You're just going to have to see that part for yourself. But anybody that did see it, you know what I'm talking about. That whole conversation in part was just pure gold. Now, time to take the golden shovel and lie myself back in the crypt. So have the last piece of turkey, Ghost Joe. Edgegrave out.
thank you so much for that awesome, horrible review, Edgegrave Dave. Awesome as usual.
That was great.
You know, I love the way you do your reviews.
You the man.
And yeah, man. And what I love about Dave, too, is that he really puts his all and his effort into these reviews because he loves horror movies so much. That's why I'm so glad that I picked him to do this, because eventually, you know, originally, and sometimes I still do it, but originally I used to do it and I couldn't put the enthusiasm like he does into it. So
of course,
thank you, as always, Edgegrave Dave.
He's always a great teller. He was always really good at telling stories, Dave.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us for this awesome, awesome Thanksgiving Day episode. And I hope you listened to it while you were cooking your turkey and or finishing your dessert, whatever, or cleaning up or whatever you like to do.
This will be good for a family.
That's story. Right. That's right. I mean, this, you know, we didn't say any bad
listen
words
to it
right?
With the whole family around.
I don't
around
think we said any bad words.
I don't think we did.
I don't think so.
I do have a big mouth, so we don't know.
I guess, you know, we'll file the complaint letters in the shredder, you know, when we get them. So, so have a great day, everybody. Great night, great week. And we'll talk to you guys next time. Later.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Warped Reality Podcast. And thank you to all my guests and contributors that help make this show possible. For more episodes, guest info, social media links, merch, and more, please check out warpedrealitypodcast.com. If you have a paranormal experience you would like to share, questions, comments, or you'd like to be a guest on the show, please leave me a voicemail at 845-600-0744, or you can email me at ghostjoeny@gmail.com. You can do so anonymously if you'd like. Also, I'd greatly appreciate it if you could leave me a review on Apple Podcasts or WarpRealityPodcast.com. Have a great night, everyone, and don't forget to change your thoughts.